everybody, and welcome to another edition of At the Devil's Ball, the podcast where we talk about horror and genre films in a positive and constructive manner. I am Nathaniel.
And I'm Samuel.
And we're diving into the Alien franchise this month. We did the first one a while back.
Right.
For Alien Day, I guess. I don't remember the date of that, though.
424, I think.
Okay. So we're a month early. Yeah. But that's okay. And so we're gonna kick off with Aliens in 1980 from 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go ahead and do the vitals?
Oh, sure. Aliens was directed by James Cameron, written by James Cameron, David Giler, Walter Hill, with obviously based on characters by Dan O'Bannon and Robert Shushet. It was released on July 18th, 1986, starring Sigourney Weaver, Michael Bain, Carrie Henn, Paul Reiser, Lance Henriksen, Bill Paxton, William Hope, Jeanette Goldstein, Al Matthews, Mark Ralston, Rico Ross, Colette Hiller, Daniel Kesh, Cynthia Dale Dietrich, Tip Tipping, Trevor Speedman, and Paul Maxwell. I think that's it for the named cast. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a couple other people in the boardroom meetings and stuff like that. Stan Winston Studios did the creature effects. And I did not write down who did the special visual effects, and I really should have because they're really important to the film. Special effects by... they just have names, but
yeah,
I can't remember the company name that it was. LAFX or something like that, I think it was.
I think so. Yeah.
And
then
I'm sorry. And music by James Horner, of course.
Right. And then we've got producer Gail Ann Hurd. Did a lot of work on this picture, which is James Cameron's ex-wife
right
now, but yeah, was wife at the time. And then we should probably call out art direction by Terry Acklin Snow, production design by Peter Lamont.
Right.
A lot of technical stuff in Aliens. So obviously we don't have time to credit everybody. But this was I just watched the audio commentary last night, and it was just as challenging technically as any film should be.
Yeah.
I mean, the sheer amount of people and effort that went into making this thing, and things they pointed out that you wouldn't even know were effect shots are effect shots. It's really quite extraordinary. It's a good commentary, by the way, if anybody out there is listening, wants to listen to it, because it tells you a lot of stuff, teaches you a lot of stuff. But like they're talking about like the set where they go in, where they're ambushed by the aliens, is actually a much smaller set than it appears. They just hung like miniatures in front of the camera and then used forced perspective to make it bigger.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Right. Like, and so like they were showing dailies to studio execs, be like, where are the effect shots? We're not even seeing. And they're like, oh, that's an effect shot. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, that's a miniature. Like, you know, and they're like, holy shit. Like, I learned a lot about, I think I was telling you a little bit on social media that I was like, you know, I learned a lot about rear projection photography versus front projection photography, which sounds boring, but it was really, really well mentioned. Like it was they just explained it, and I was like, oh shit, that's brilliant. That's actually pretty clever. And they're like, oh yeah, just the shadow just hides itself in the frame. And I'm like, what? That's insane. And they're like, yep. And that's just, that's how it works. And I'm like, oh shit.
Right.
But yeah. Is this your favorite of the Alien series? I think
I'm always tossed up between this one and the first one because they're such different films. But this is the one that I've watched the most growing up.
Okay.
and got the most kick out of growing up. But I really respect the first one, as for what it did. So it's hard for me to choose a baby out of this one. But yeah, I would say probably this one would be my slight favorite.
Okay. Is it just because of the action, or like, is it?
It's just it's everything. It's the action. It's the the pacing, the story, the expansion of the universe, and then all, like you said, like all the little tricks that go into making it a movie of its caliber. But yeah, I would say mostly the action. It came in with a I think it was $18.5 million budget. I mean, which is a good budget, but it's not $40 million. It's not, and
No.
which is what I think it looks. If I were to guess what it looks like $40 million back then. It's because everybody working there, knows what the hell they're doing. And James Cameron, for all the faults I can find in his later works, as far as storytelling goes, which I don't think are here. He tells a good story here, but he knows how to do technical camera stuff and technical effects, and he just like the perfect guy for the job, really.
And he didn't really at the time, which is kind of
Right.
remarkable. But like he, I didn't know this. I was listening to the commentary, and that's what they were telling, that's what they were saying, was that like this was like right after Terminator.
Right.
And he got the job before Terminator, based on the screenplay to Terminator.
Right.
And so like he had basically just done the one film prior to
Right.
Aliens. He was still in his late 20s, early 30s at best. And had gone, it was coming from a much lower budget to a much higher budget. And yeah, I mean, like, and he talks about like the work he put into it, pre-production, and like how at one point he was writing three scripts at the same time over a
Right.
3 month period, where he was finalizing Terminator, writing Aliens, and apparently also writing, I think, like Rambo 2, First Blood Part 2, something like that.
I think the third one.
Or the third one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was writing three scripts at the same time.
Right.
And but yeah, he's an interesting figure on the commentary track, but to the point that he sometimes is insufferably smug, and then at other times he's actually really interesting to listen to.
Right.
But I agree with you. I mean, I happen to have a certain respect for Jim Cameron, even though Avatar blows,
Right.
and it really does. I mean, shut up.
Yeah,
But
it's terrible.
yeah, but it's I actually tried to watch it with the riff tracks on just the other night, and I couldn't do it. Like, I was just like, I can't sit through this thing.
Oh, even with the riff tracks, it's a rough watch. But yeah, let's not focus on that, I guess.
No, but no, I mean, like, but I actually happen to really love Titanic, actually,
Right.
and much like that, I'm reminded was reminded of that while watching Aliens, that
Right.
again, it astonishes me, or otherwise kind of tickles me, that a filmmaker with the amount of clout and money that Cameron has as a filmmaker is still making movies that are critical of wealthy people.
Right.
Titanic in particular. I mean, Titanic, it's not even subtle. It's just like the poor people are good and the rich people are bad, and that's
Right.
it. With one exception, and she's old money and she's new money.
Right.
It's but Aliens is another movie that he's like, it's anti-corporate. And he talks about on the commentary, it's like a lot of it was representative of Vietnam
Right.
and of the actions of multinational corporations in the global scale, and how, and how that interplay with the Marines works out, where they don't work for the
Right.
government. So they don't work for the corporation, but the government works for the corporation. So it's and all of that. And I'm like, but he's working with the studio system with this
Right.
picture. And and he's made more money than God. And I'm like, but he's still making these movies that are even Avatar, to a degree, was still anti-corporate,
Yeah.
anti-wealth. but it costs like, you know, $200 billion to make.
Right.
So it's there's a, there I can't tell if that's something that I like about him or if it's something that I find repellent. But is there a hypocrisy there, or it is easy, is it well-meaning? You know,
Right.
but no, I mean, it's interesting that the commentary track talks a lot about difficulties on set, and some of it does sound like it's just Jim Cameron being difficult.
Right.
But some of it is also like outright, like there was like an outright insurrection on this set.
Yeah.
That they were shooting the film in England, and so the British crew members that were brought on for the film didn't like the longer hour days. They were
Right.
all, you know, having these troubles, and the perception apparently was that Cameron, being as young as he was weak, and that because his wife was
Right.
the producer, that she was weak. And so I guess the second AD like literally like staged a coup essentially
Right.
to get Cameron fired. And they ultimately worked it out, but he was fired and most of the crew stayed on. And it doesn't, they don't explicitly state it, but it sounds like largely the only reason why the movie still survives is because Stan Winston
Right.
was 100% behind Cameron after working with him on Terminator. So it sort of like sounds like that the real hero of the story is Stan Winston, who was like, nope, my effects shop stays with the production no
Right.
matter what happens. And that tended to lead to a lot of support, more support for Cameron than maybe was there originally. But also like there's stories about like, you know, Bill Paxton kind of offhandedly mentions, you know, like Cameron has trouble with unions,
Right.
largely because he just wants to do the work himself, and that's not allowed,
Yeah.
union with unions. There are occasional like little references to like jabs at like Sigourney Weaver's liberalism in the commentary, and a vaguely alarming enjoyment of guns
Yeah.
from Cameron and his wife. And I'm kind of like, ew, gross.
Right.
But he's definitely a craftsman. And he talks about a lot of like the choices he made and stuff, and it's all impressive sounding. I don't want to get off on it. This is why I don't watch commentary tracks, because I don't like
Right.
repeating the commentary track stuff, but we're gonna get to get to it. But yeah, I mean that's so I mean Cameron is this really polarizing figure for me. And what I did say to you also last night was actually that I liked this movie more this time than I think I have at any previous outing. I've
Right.
never been a huge fan of this movie, and love the first one.
Right.
One of my favorites. I think if gun to my head, you're like, well, your top five Alien would be on it.
Right.
But yeah, like I found always found Aliens to be a little bit, I don't know, immature maybe. You know, it was too loud for me. And in some ways it still is. But what I found this time watching it was that, first of all, it's like way more suspenseful than I remembered it being. The first act of this movie is really tightly done. It's a tight script too. Like, I actually accidentally watched the I first I thought it wasn't on there, but it turns out it was just me pressing buttons because the you know special interactive menus rarely work the way they're supposed to.
No, they're just
They're
you don't want
flashy
them.
and they're cute, but they end up being confusing quite frequently. And I think I was trying to access something and I ended up turning on the theatrical. Now, it was the first time I'd seen the theatrical, I think, in years. And I prefer it, I think, to the special edition. I think it's a much tighter film.
As do I,
Really? Okay,
yeah.
good. It's such a tighter film.
Right.
There's no wasted moment in the theatrical version.
Yeah, like what the, the director's cut, I don't remember all the differences, but like we didn't need the stuff with like Newt's family. I mean, it's just stuff like that.
Right.
Like the little pieces that, they're fun to watch. I mean, I'll always stand by watching a director's cut or an extended cut of something at least once because I think they're fun to watch, a little bit of a different vision of the film. But like, eight times out of ten, maybe. You know, the theatrical cut is usually the better one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I haven't seen the original Alien theatrical in a long time. And it's funny because the special edition is kind of required for the sequel to work, like in some ways, because the cocoon thing is brought up, but in the original film, but only in the special edition. It's not in the theatrical cut. Of course, in the scene in which Alien, Ripley comes across Dallas and Kane, Dallas and Brett cocooned in in Dallas's Kill Me, which is not in the theatrical version. We just never see Brett or Dallas again in the original version after they're bumped off. But they're kind of required because it's sort of a plot point in the Aliens where they're like, the entire ambush happens because of the cocooning thing that they do, which is actually not in the original text unless you watch the special edition, which is funny, I guess. But yeah, but I find that the theatrical cut of Aliens was so much tighter. And just I admired just watching it and realizing the script was just doing its job at every moment it needed to. Like it was just so tightly written. Exposition is being delivered perfectly. This is how you do exposition in film. Like it doesn't feel like exposition, but a lot of the scenes are exposition. They're telling you what's happening, just so you know. But they are, but it's really exceptionally well done, through the script that it was just such a it's just such a great screenplay. I was astonished with it this time because I was like, wow, this is just doing the job, in a way that I had never really noticed before. And maybe it was because I've been watching the special edition all these years, I don't know. But the
Could be, yeah.
yeah although the only thing I remember about that was in the special edition that was not in the theatrical was there's the bit about Ripley's daughter that wasn't there, and Newt's family. That's the only thing I remember that was different. The bit where Bishop gets up near the glass and the facehugger jumps out is not in the theatrical. Instead, that happens to Burke, I
One of the
think.
grunts, yeah, Burke.
Yeah, in the theatrical cut. But that's all I really remembered. Not when I was watching, going, "Oh, that wasn't there." That's when I realized I wasn't watching the special edition because I was like, "Well, wait a minute, there that scene with Newt's family never happened." What am I doing? And I was like, "Well, I mean, too late now." So I just ran it through. And I enjoyed it. And then, of course, I think the theatrical cut, I think the commentary track is the theatrical too. I don't think it's on the special edition, which is odd. But yeah, I mean, I found myself just really enjoying the script in a way that I hadn't in previous versions, that it was so much tighter and so much and just moves along really crisply. It's still a 2 hours and 15 minutes.
It's a movie that I always am surprised by how long it is because every time I watch it, you don't feel like it's that long. It's
No, it didn't feel that long at all this time around. And I was pausing it and like doing other shit. Like I was like, oh, I gotta, I baked a cake during it. So I kept getting up and going, because I had edibles and I'm depressed. So I was like, I'm gonna make cakes. But yeah, but I kept pausing it. So it took me a long time to watch the movie, but I realized once I had it on that it was just moving really quickly. And despite the fact that like studio execs apparently with their main note at the beginning with the film was nothing was happening in the first like 30 minutes, and I'm like, and I realized like there really isn't much
No.
happening in the first 30 minutes or so, but it's all suspense, it's building, it's they are building up to, and it's a little off topic to what I'm talking about, but one of the things that I remember noting, and I should have taken notes, and I need to take notes here on out. I really do. But I had noticed just off to myself like how many cliches come from this movie.
Right.
You know, particularly I noticed it when they're coming up to the compound, it's raining. And they're like, get the console, like, yeah, sure, like, you know, beep, 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 beep,
Right.
like, you know, and they're covering it and they're going through the point of view shots of their little mini cameras. All that stuff is in every goddamn military movie ever
Right. Since then, yeah.
since then.
Right.
Especially sci-fi. Any movie, any science fiction movie that features military will have basically that exact same series of events occurring in
Right.
it. And I was originally like, Jesus, what a cliche. I'm like, no, this is where it started.
Right, yeah.
You know, Cameron invented it.
Yep.
It's all this stuff that everybody does. I mean, you just realize how frequently this movie has been imitated
Right.
through over the years. It is really extraordinary. And
Right.
but I found myself really, really digging that, where I was like, all these things that have become old hat. Especially in the video store era of the 90s. I'm sure you
Right.
know this, that, you know, you rented some random like Extro 2 or
Yeah, right.
whatever.
Because it's an
You know,
alien knockoff,
yeah, and it's an alien knockoff. And it's you know, they're all of those scenes were always in it.
yeah.
And you always enjoyed them because
Right.
they're fun. But yeah, it didn't really occur to me, I think, until now I'm 42 watching Aliens and going,
Right.
oh, that's where it started. The Leonardo DiCaprio meme. I'm like pointing
Yeah,
at
yeah.
it. You know, I'm like, that's where this started. And so I loved that. But and so that's the thing, is that this script is so, I guess that's how I'm tie it back into what I was talking about,
Right.
because the script has all that in it. But it did it all for its function.
Yeah.
You know, we see how the Marines operate. We see what they're doing, why they're going in, you know, like we all of that is all, and it's all set up. It's all the script saying, here's where we're going.
Right.
You know, so much of it is based around, that's my only, like the only flaw with any of it I did have in that first 30 minutes really was that, to a degree, I was thinking, okay, we're with Ripley, so we know what we're gonna see. We
Yeah.
know where we're going.
Right.
But you're building all of this suspense, but we know what the aliens are. We know, well, at least what it was. And we know there's going to be more. Ripley mentions that. That's
Right.
specifically her reasoning for going, is she's like, there were thousands of eggs in that ship. So we know there's going to be more of them.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a like, well, why are you trying to, you know, create mystery about this, because I know we know what we're going to see. We're with Ripley on that. But other than that, I don't think you really notice it unless you're, you know, a dick like
Right.
me, you know, being like, you know, well, I'm already with Ripley on the story, so I know what we're going to see. So, you know, we're
Right.
kind of dragging this out. But it still works. I mean,
Yeah. It's
it's, yeah.
they're doing storytelling and character work, you know, for
Yes.
and you know, with a movie that's as fast-paced as this, you know, you got to get it out of the way quick, I guess.
Well, you get 2/3 of your cast is gone
Right.
within at the end of that 30 minutes. I mean,
Yeah.
like it's, but yeah, the, but yes, you're right. It's all character work. And that's all it is
Right.
it's establishing the Marines and who they are. Even though, to a degree, unless you're rewatching it, I think you could be forgiven for, like, you know, not thinking Hicks is going to be a big deal. Like
Right.
he, you know, there's not a lot of attention given him,
Right.
in that opening. Most of it is focused on Vasquez and Bill Paxton,
Right.
Hudson,
Hudson.
who's I think my
Sorry, I've
favorite.
got something in my eye, but go
Oh,
on.
sorry. But yeah, Hudson, I think is probably my favorite. But yeah, I mean, it's all character work, and it's all developing the idea that they are really good at what they do, and then it all goes to shit instantly. But like all of it
Right.
is character moments, and there are such brilliant ones, especially once they're in there with the commander. Christ.
Gorman? No.
No, I'm gonna need. This is why I need to take notes. I know all their names. That's
Right.
what's irritating me. Gorman, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Lieutenant Gorman. He's on the comms, and it's a great character moment for Gorman of like, he completely botches it. He doesn't even
Right.
recognize the cooling tanks. Ripley does. And then he fails utterly. And then I love that he gets injured
Right.
in the escape. His injury occurs while they're running away.
Yeah.
Not
They
in
basically have to
battle.
carry him through half the film.
Yeah, and then they have to carry him for a while, and then he kind of just fades to the background because he's got no lines to, in that play. Like
Right.
he's like, I've already failed. I'm just gonna go along with it.
Yeah.
But once he's out, though, he's completely on Team Ripley.
Right.
But yeah, there are little character moments. Like that guy's not given much to do, but we know everything we need to know about him to follow his arc. And it's a great arc. It's just not
Right.
called out. It's not spelled out for anybody. It's just him doing his thing as an actor, and then they just kind of take the bully and not route of having him just kind of walk out with a bandage on his head and saying, you know what, I'm on your team now.
Right.
I completely fucked up. They didn't even give him that scene. He says Ripley, and she says, never mind.
Right.
Shut
Yeah.
up. There's no, you got no more lines. It's but he's just like, yep, all right, I'm on your team now. Like that's, I screwed up, and a lot of people died, and I'm now just going to cooperate with your leadership. And that's all wonderful stuff. So yeah, I mean, but I did realize that in that 30 minutes, even though nothing was really happening, and even though I already knew, where we're going, it's still
Right.
super suspenseful. Like it's
Yeah.
just there, you're on edge the whole time. They're like, we're going in and it's gonna be, awful.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, that's the magic of this movie is like I don't think any of it really gets old. Like however many times you see it, like it still feels fresh when it's happening. And the unveiling of these new rules and new monsters, with like the cocooning and the alien queen. Still feel like, well, what the fuck? What the fuck is this? It's every time.
Yeah. Well, they
So,
do more.
yeah.
And that is something that I definitely admired more about this movie. It never really occurred to me till this time, and I went, holy shit, that's absolutely incredible. Is so they have the chest burster scene
Right.
in the end, they flamethrow it, and then the aliens come out, and their first act is in one move, take out both flamethrowers.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's amazing screenwriting right there, because right with one move, you've established these are not mindless monsters. These are
Right.
strategists,
Yeah.
and they saw the threat and they dealt with it, and they dealt with it very swiftly. And right from there, you're like, they're doomed. There's no
Yeah.
way. There's no way they're gonna win. Like they can't win. We know
Yeah,
they're
they
probably
completely
gonna.
underestimated their enemy and,
Yeah. They didn't know
it's
their enemy was
over. Yep.
there.
Right.
They because again, that's part of the reason why that first 30 minutes does work is because the Marines don't believe Ripley. They
Right.
dismiss her, just like the guys in the boardroom did, just like everybody else did. The only one that believes her is Burke,
Right.
and Burke has reasons to believe her, and they're not good ones.
No.
It's everybody else is dismissing this as a bug hunt, right? We're gonna go in and there's gonna be nothing there. It's pointless. It's dumb. It's not, there's no such thing. And then they're like, so they get caught unawares by an enemy that is way smarter than anybody thought they were. But yeah, I mean, they do more stuff. I mean, that scene is great, with the aliens having like this really strategic movement where they take out who they need to take out in order. And then just, the facehuggers are actually doing stuff in this movie. And then, of course, the alien queen, who's a new addition, and is the most technically complicated puppet, I think, in the history of puppets. I don't know how
Damn
I feel
near.
about her, but
How so?
overall, I don't know. I mean, it feels, I get it, and I like what they do with it. And again, the alien queen in the climax is very smart,
Right.
stinking. It's strategized. She's strategizing, thinking.
Right.
But overall, the whole scene feels a little too silly for me. Although I did admire, I was like, the get away from here, you bitch line
Right.
should not have worked at all. It would have been in lesser hands, it would have been the most groan inducing, stupid line.
Right.
But instead, it sells the whole conflict. And
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver just absolutely nails it with that
Yeah.
line. That even I'm like skeptical, you know, at that point, still watching the movie, going like, I don't know. And she hits that line. I'm like, okay, yeah, all right. I'm
Right, I'm
in.
in. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in. That because, and I just realized like how kind of bad that line actually is, but it works so well.
Oh, I mean,
Yeah.
it's an action line. You know, it's those always on paper, and most of the time in practice, you know, are corny as hell, and you know,
Yeah.
make your eyes roll. You know, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Sigourney Weaver like just totally sells it and gives it the just the right amount of emotion, you know,
Yeah.
to sell the thing.
Yeah. I think even the subtitles, I think italicized bitch.
Right.
You know, they get it's not because it's not get away from her, you bitch. It's get away from her, you bitch.
Right.
Like it's sold so well that I it just blows me away every time, and I'm like, this is the stupidest line. And it really shouldn't have worked, and it does. But
Right.
yeah, the whole climax does feel a little bit like, I mean, they even pointed out in the commentary where they're like, some of this doesn't, if you think about it for more than like 2 minutes, doesn't work.
Right,
Like
right.
the Alien Queen was the puppet was too big for the elevator. And so they lit it so that it looked like, you know, she was like kind of crammed in there. But in reality, if you know the direct that the you've seen the Alien Queen, you've seen the elevator, you know the two things don't fit.
Right.
But you know, they did it in such a way that you don't really think about it. How did they get onto the ship behind Bishop? You know, it's all necessary, but
Right.
it is one of those things that, and I don't like to get CinemaSinsy, but I'm kind of like, you know, I'm still a discerning viewer, and so therefore I'm
Right.
like, you know, that stuff takes me out a little bit, but no, ultimately I do like the scene. You know, the forklift bit is also, you know, it's dumb as shit, but
Right.
it works. And it works due to some choreography too. I mean, there's some smart choreography going on there
Yeah.
where, you know, there's strategy happening on both sides where Ripley's
Right.
like, I'm gonna try this, and the Queen's like, well, no, I'm gonna try that. You know,
Right.
they're both thinking about it during the fight. That does help sell it.
Yeah.
But it's goofy.
Right.
And that was sort of my big challenge with it. I love the scene, however, with the queen when she's with the eggs.
Right.
I love that scene. The way Ripley communicates to her, you know, and the way the queen actually reciprocates that communication is really clever. You know, she just points that flamethrower at the eggs. And be like, we walk out of here. I set it all on fire. And the queen's
Right.
like, no, let him go.
Yeah,
You
right.
know, let him out. I don't want anything to happen to those eggs. So, and she makes the drones back off. You
Right.
know, it's a nice, clever bit. And then, you know, Ripley just goes berserk and sets them all on
Yeah.
fire anyway. So you ultimately have a
Which
narrative
was
that, you know.
wholly unnecessary. Like the whole site's gonna blow up in a couple minutes. I mean,
True.
yeah.
True, true. They talk about in the commentary, and of course, and everything that, you know, of course, the significance of the moment is her dealing with her trauma or
Right,
what have you. But, you
exactly.
know, yeah. But, you know, you're right. The whole building was going to blow, and
Right.
they had no reason to know that. So she could have just walked away, got on the elevator,
Right.
and everything would have been fine. They could have gotten another drop ship, gone back, and the facility would have been nuked. And no more
Right.
aliens. In fact, the reason why Alien 3 happens
Yeah.
is because Ripley made that decision. The Queen would have just sat there oblivious and blowed up and
Right.
never laid any more eggs. By the way, the sequel hook is in the end of the credits, by the way. I don't know if you've watched all the way to the end credits of
Not this
Alien.
time, no, I did.
I was letting it run out because this Blu-ray is one of those obnoxious ones that when you turn it on, it says, "Do you would like to resume?"
Oh,
And I'm
right.
like, "During the credits? No."
Right.
So I had to rewind the movie and start it over. But at the end, I was letting it run out, and at the very, very end of the credits, there's a skittering sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
Nice.
even the subtitles have skittering sound
Right.
under it. So they make it clear, I think, if you watch all the way to the end credits, there's a facehugger on board.
Right.
So,
Or something survived somewhere, what have you.
yep, there's more. There's a hook for more at the end of it. But yeah, it's but yeah. So I mean, I've talked for a while now. So why don't you tell me more about what
Although
you like about it?
this watch through, I was really watching Paul Reiser's Burke character closely, because I think he's doing some really good work in this. And I still think that, like, at the beginning of the film, like, you feel like he's one of the good guys until like, slowly but surely, as the wheels come off the entire, scheme of going to fight these aliens or going to save these aliens or whatever you want to call it, like, he starts, unfolding, his real self, and turns out to be just a giant piece of shit. But like, I really think that he's, doing like a lot of good work at the beginning to ingratiate himself to Sigourney Weaver, and not like in an obsequious manner. Like, it's just like, he's like, "Oh, I believe you. Let's take care of this together." And it's like, before you realize later on that, he's just doing this for what they
He's
all do this
laying,
for. He's money. He's money,
yeah. Oh, he's laying in but there's still clues
Right. Yeah. It's
in
still
his behavior with Ripley that
right.
it is disingenuous. And I agree with you. It's a phenomenal performance. I think Paul Reiser
Right.
is fantastic in this movie, if not the best one in it. I think
Right.
Paul Reiser is doing just career best
Yeah.
work in this picture. But yeah.
It's like, he's just nailing all the spots where you really need to nail to sell this character as he's supposed to be sold. Just like, he's the corporate suit you would like to rely on, and to get you to think that, okay, this the corporation isn't, always out to screw us. It's they just want, the
Maybe
best for us as well,
there's this one good junior exec in the group.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And
And
then by the end, you find out that, he's the one who, like, sent the colonists there in the first place. It's
yeah.
just like, oh shit,
By the way, another poor move by Ripley. Confronting him in private was not a
Right.
good idea.
No.
Yeah. You know what he's capable of. I wouldn't
Right.
It's one of those things that did take me out of the movie a little bit. I'm like, why are you confronting him in private? Like,
Right.
do you think he's going to be shamed into not doing more? Like, he's gonna, do
Yeah.
worse,
Yeah.
but you should at least bring Hicks into the room,
Right.
like let him know, because, let them know that he
Right.
can't be trusted. Because later on, he's just hanging around,
Yeah.
in the group with them while they're going over plans. And then, Ripley's in the med bay getting attacked, and they don't know.
Right.
It's just like, maybe if you had told them then that he was a traitor, they could have,
Done
locked him
something about
up.
it, right?
Yeah. Or wasted him as
Right.
they later on. And again, I probably would have let them fire Ripley, but
Right.
he was going to kill them. So I
Yeah,
think.
that's one of the parts of her thinking that I didn't really climb onto, was like, that she doesn't want them to waste him. She wants him to, like, go back and go to jail or something. I'm like, dude,
He's not gonna.
you know well enough that he's not, if it's gonna be him or you guys,
Yeah.
at the end of the day.
Even if you got him back, you think the company was, they were gonna promote him.
Right.
I mean, they wouldn't have, he probably wouldn't have seen any actual justice for that behavior.
Yeah.
Like, the corporation's evil.
Right.
They probably would have, he would have been president.
Yeah.
They would have made him president.
Right. Vice
We,
president in charge of, the weapons division or
Army President of
something.
the United States. He would have become, like, he's Donald Trump.
There
You
you
know,
go.
like then be just they'll just promote him and then he'll run for
Right.
president. An alien in every home.
Right.
But yeah, he yeah, I mean he's but it is great work and is a great character. But yeah, I mean Ripley shows some particularly poor judgment at a couple of key points in the script
Right.
that are necessary for drama, but it does feel like handcuff. It does feel like you're making a character who's really, really smart, a little dumb,
Right.
on occasion. It's a little contrived. But yeah, no, but I agree with you. I love Paul Reiser in this. I love Burke. I think he's a great
Right.
villain. One of the best.
And he's a great villain for the time, you know, because like, you know, with the 80s, you know, Reed is good, you know, fucking Reagan kind of shit. Like he's just like totally part of that culture. Like, you know, you can see him hanging out with, you know, Patrick Bateman or something, you know. It's just like, okay, you're just this soulless yuppie, you know, trash that will do anything for a buck. I think that's one of the big themes of the movie is that, you know, corporate America will do anything to make a buck, you know.
It's another one that's similar to it's similar in Predator. We talked about Predator where like, you know, we have the one movie where mercs are good guys who are noble.
Right.
In comparison to say the CIA, who
Yeah.
are, you know, up to no good in the area. That's why they're there.
Right.
You know, you have another dichotomy here where you have, you know, these Marines are the good guys and not, you know, genocidal bastards. You
Right.
know, like it's no offense to the Marines, I guess,
Right.
but yeah, the it's interesting that a movie that this movie does have sort of a kind of a pro-military, anti-corporate
Right.
theme mentality that I think, you know, it's one of the very few circumstances where I think you can get behind that.
Right.
You know, that because the Marines are good
And
guys.
again, this is the 80s. This is the era of Rambo. You know, it's and
True.
I did look it up. You were right. It was Rambo 2 that he did a script pass on. And that's the most jingoistic one of them all. It's the most pro-military one of the batch.
Well, Cameron knows, I think, knows how to play ball. You know, that no matter what his personal viewpoints are, he'll write the script they pay him to write. So, or make the film they pay him to make. But yeah.
But it's definitely part of like the 80s, you know, like, you know, guns are good, G.I. Joe is good. So let's blast them commies. Kind of thing.
And there's very little conversation about about colonization
Right. Even though they're
and
the
the ethics
colonial
of that.
Marines, you know, it's right there in the name.
We defend the colonies.
Right.
And what do we defend the colonies from? Probably,
Indigenous life.
that or or people who want better, you
Right.
know. But yeah, the it's interesting. There is a moral. I mean, and there's a reason why Ripley's there, I
Right.
think. And then the reason why Ripley is the hero is because she has the mentality of the audience that,
Right. She
you
questions
know,
them all, basically, you know.
she's asking questions and choosing her alliance as well.
Right.
You know, that, you know, recognizing that, you know, Hicks is a good guy, you know,
Right.
although I do love that scene too of when she's taking charge and Burke tries to overrule her, and then she goes, "Well, Hicks is actually in charge," and Hicks is like, "What?
Right.
Like, come on!" And then they're like, you know, and then when Burke insults him, he just says, "Well,
Right.
I say we take the ship out of we nuke it from orbit. The only way to be
Right.
sure." And then calls it back. He the no offense bit gets called
Right.
back when he's like, "Okay, we waste him. No offense."
Yeah.
You know, I, you know, Michael Biehn, I don't, I, why didn't he become a bigger star?
Yeah, I don't
I
know.
feel like I've talked about this with other people in the past and nobody
Right.
ever has an answer. But I mean, this is a guy who did Terminator, Aliens, and The Abyss.
Right.
And he's not a household name. I don't, I've never been able to figure out why he wasn't a bigger deal. And he, because I feel like he should have been.
Yeah,
He's a
for
handsome
sure.
leading man. He's
Right.
a, you know, he's a good looking guy. He's charismatic. He's
Yep.
interesting. I know he played the villain in The Abyss, but I mean, he was Kyle Reese.
I mean, he was in a, just a ton of shit, but he was never like the leading man. You're right. He's just, guy number six or something,
Yeah. I mean, he did have leading roles, I think, but they were, I think he was in like, wasn't he the other lead in Navy SEALs?
I've never seen Navy
Yeah.
SEALs, so I
I
don't know.
never have either. But I think he was with but Charlie Sheen, I think, was the
Right.
star. But yeah, I've never been able to crack that code. I'm like, why wasn't Michael Biehn a bigger deal? Because he's really good.
Right.
He's good in this, he's good in Terminator, he's good in The Abyss. He's and coming off of these big James Cameron productions, why he wasn't,
Right.
a hot item for Hollywood, is just a mystery to me. But I think,
Yeah.
and I think it's a disservice, because I think he's really good.
Oh, yeah, for
And
sure.
yeah, and I think he's good in this. Hicks doesn't have an awful lot to do, unfortunately, here and there. I mean, and
Right.
he is, part of what makes Hicks work is that he's second to to a woman. You know,
Right.
she's in charge and he's following. He's making the choice to follow, that he realizes she's got the goods, and that he's gonna back her up. But yeah, I mean, Hicks is, and it's funny because a lot of fan fiction and a lot of other stuff that's been written about is like, Hicks is like a big deal in fan canon, where in reality, in the series, he does very little.
Right,
And
right,
but I know that, obviously we're going to talk about Alien 3, and there
right.
was the whole original idea that Hicks was going to be the lead and Michael Biehn was going to be the lead. And
Right.
eventually, over time, because of studio stuff, I mean, Alien 3, of course, was a remarkably troubled production,
Right.
troubled pre-production. There was a ton of scripts written for that movie. But a lot of them were originally based around the idea of Hicks being
Right.
the lead. So somebody was paying attention
Yeah.
that, that Michael Biehn was good. And maybe there's some alternate reality out there where Michael Biehn took over
The
the Alien
series, right?
franchise and was the star for, three
Right.
more movies. But yeah, I've always been just kind of somewhat, or every time I watch a Michael Biehn movie, I'm like, why wasn't he a bigger deal?
Right.
Because he's
He's
good.
just so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And Hicks is cool. He is cool. But yeah. Who else did you want to talk about? What else?
Let's see. We got Bill Paxton doing Hudson. I mean, that's
Yeah. Yeah.
there's that. Which I found him more annoying this time than most times I watched it, which
Okay.
is still pretty annoying. But
Yeah. He is, but he's also charming. I
yeah,
mean,
he's got a way about him. But
yeah.
at the same time, it's like, dude, shut up.
Yeah. He does
And
cut
even the other
Denver.
characters are like, dude, shut up.
Yeah. Oh, one of my favorite scenes is still when he's panicking and Ripley gives him something to do
Right.
and
Yeah.
he pulls it together.
Yeah.
It's great
Yeah.
work from Paxton. It's really, it's, I feel like it probably is a lot easier to go big and crazy, but then to kind of have to pull that back in your
Right.
performance is something special. And I think Paxton does a great job with it. When he quietly is just like, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, I got it,
Right.
but all the most famous lines usually coming from him, so
Yeah. The ones we still use,
Game Over Man
Right.
and Bug Hunt. It's a bug hunt,
Yep.
man. It's a bug
Yeah.
hunt. Yeah.
Yep.
It's, all of that stuff's coming from Hudson. But
Right.
also, a little thing I always forget about, and then I notice it when I watch it, is in the Newt calls out for him in the combat sequence with
Right.
the facehuggers, where she does call you Hudson, and he comes over and
Right.
kills the facehugger.
Yeah.
And I was
That
always
is
like,
pretty cool. Yep.
I always dig that little moment. They all have little moments with Newt. Hicks
Right.
has a nice one too, where she's trying to see the board,
Yeah, and he
and he
picks her
just
up
picks
and
her up,
puts
puts
her
her
up.
on the side. Yeah. Little moments that make them No matter what they are, they're nice to the kid,
Right.
so therefore they're okay. But Burke never has that moment with Newt.
Right. No, I was going to
So
say he's just kind of ignores her.
yeah.
And then tries to kill her, you know?
Yeah. Well, he tries to get her impregnated with
Right.
alien
Yeah.
fetuses. Yeah. Pretty nasty stuff. He's a Republican senator.
Right.
But that's the last time. I won't do that again. But yeah, it's Hudson is a character that does, I think, get in danger of becoming too obnoxious. But I think
Right.
Paxton's general charisma,
Yeah. And he, you know, he manages to pull it together when, you know, it needs to happen, you
needs
know,
to
and
happen. Yeah.
so I give him credit for that. But like, you
Yeah.
know, there's some parts where, you know, like there's the part where Vasquez tells him to shut the fuck up, basically. I'm like, yes, please, thank you, you know.
He talks about that on the commentary a little bit, where he says,
Right.
I had all the annoying lines, and Henriksen kind of says, like, yeah, but the he's like, yeah, but the audience is kind of with
Right.
and he's like, but don't you have, and then he kind of mentioned, he's like, don't you have all the, didn't they use a lot of your stuff in, like, later, later, like, video games and stuff? And Max's like, yeah, I mean, they do.
Right.
This role has followed me, through my career, which is, again, the sad thing. We'll see in the commentary track, is you realize two or three people on it are dead.
Right.
But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, he does talk about that a little bit. But he goes, like, yeah, I'm being annoying as hell here.
Right.
And the other actors are like, yeah, but, like, it's a good kind of annoying. It's, And then the producer jumps in, and she's like, oh yeah, like, he's the audience proxy. He's
Right.
saying what the audience is
Yeah.
thinking. We're doomed no matter what we do. These things are going to kill us, and he's also, I think, he's comic relief. I think we need it. The film is gets to a point where it starts getting pretty bleak.
Right.
And I think that Hudson's whining lightens it up.
Right.
But yeah, it's a great performance. I think Paxton was always a slightly underrated performer. Just the sheer amount of work he's done. Pretty good director too. He did Frailty.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, he starred in that too. And speaking about bleak. But yeah, he was good. He was a good, ended up being a good filmmaker on top of being a good actor.
Right.
But yeah, he's really good in this, and I think this was a star-making role for him. He
Oh, yeah.
wasn't Whereas Michael Biehn faded into mild obscurity, Paxton kind of became a big deal, and a lot of that was due to being Hudson.
Right.
And then there was something else, like, right after this, that really launched Paxton into the stratosphere, but I can't remember what it was.
Don't know either.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Twister, but you know, that
That
was
was
years and
later.
years later, yeah.
Yeah. That's why he wasn't Twister. I always forget he was the other guy in Twister. But yeah, he's good. Yeah, the only thing that ultimately I think I don't like about this movie is I hate to say it, but it's Newt. And it's the same premise of oh, he'd do Near Dark shortly after this.
Oh, yeah.
And then mostly just character roles. But
Right.
yeah, okay. He didn't ever really got shot in the stratosphere, I guess. I guess he was
No.
always just a character actor. But yeah, highly underrated one still. But Newt gave me the same vibes as, like, say, in Jurassic Park 3, where they're like, the kid survived here for all this time on their own.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck you. How? Like, I don't want to get, again, I don't like the CinemaSins thing, but I'm kind of like, that's a lot to ask. That
Right.
everybody's dead except for this freaking 5-year-old. And I'm like, and yeah, she's crawling around the vents, but so can they. Like, how is she managing? And I mean, it's a plot point and they talk about it, it's one point thrown back at Hudson, like, see, this little girl survived for way longer than that without guns. And he's like, why didn't you put her in charge? Like, but yeah, the but I it still bugs me that and then of course we do have a third act that's Kid in Peril. And I find that grates on me a little.
I think she's useful as a plot device.
Yeah, it's a plot device, but yeah.
She's maybe a MacGuffin at the end of the day, but it's something to soften the edges of Ripley and not, have her be just like,
Yeah.
the kick-ass female action star. Like, did it give her more depth than just that,
Yeah. And the mother, like I said, the motherhood thing ties into the climax with the alien queen having a similar response to, her children in peril. But it still is one of those things that I can't quite wrap my head around. And I think she's good. The young lady, Carrie Henn, was not an actor. She was
No.
cast from apparently lots and lots and lots of children. And she never actually did not pursue acting. She left shortly thereafter. She has a cute bit on the commentary track. I did like that.
Oh, nice.
Where she talks about how she hates the line. They mostly come at night, mostly. Because she said her whole life, her friends have been teasing her with it, where they would find something else besides they, be like, we mostly go to the mall at night, mostly. And she got sick of it. And so, and she's like, everybody says it to me, when they figure out who I am. And so I do, and it was, she said it in a lighthearted manner. That's not like she like really hates it, but like it was cute where she's like, yeah, I get this line said to me and my friends have teased me with it my whole life. And so I kind of hate it now, but they mostly come at night, mostly. And I did like think that was very funny that her friends would be like, we go to sleep at night, mostly, and just to give her a hard time, which I'm like, I would totally do.
Yeah, for sure.
I would, if you were ever in a movie, I would just quote your lines at you all the time until you got sick of them. But yeah, it's but I think she's good. I mean, I think the actress is good. I think and I appreciate what she brings to the narrative, but it still is one of those things that I'm just like, come on, like this kid survived. I mean, we've already established by that point, these are the smartest fucking creatures out there. They're outwitted by a child. I'm like, you might as well have told me, I think it's supposed to be similar to Jonesy, the cat. Like, like the smallest thing, it kind of goes unnoticed. And the alien doesn't go after it because it's not useful. But it is, it is still one of those things that I'm kind of like, it's a small child. Like this, she probably should have been one of the first things killed, really. Like, at least the cat I buy, like, the cat would could just like crawl into a hole and not come out for a while. Like, if you ever tried to catch a cat, it's not easy.
It's no.
But a kid, I'm like, we'll just grab her. I mean, it's not, I probably shouldn't say this, but it's not hard to beat up a kid. I mean, like, but or get a kid or whatever. But not that I would ever do so. Disclaimer, I would never harm a child. But I feel
Unless they
like,
were really asking for it,
yeah, but I think I feel like a xenomorph shouldn't have too much difficulty taking out a small child. And
No.
which, by the way, is that their official name or is it because they refer to them as xenomorphs, but I think that's supposed to be a classification, not a specific title, right?
It became their official name. I don't
Yeah,
know. I
I
don't
know
know
that's
if
what they're
it,
called now. Yeah.
I don't know if in universe, like to the movies, they've ever referred to them as that again. I don't really remember every line of like three and four, it's but I know, like, as far as like the comics and the novels and everything, like, yeah, that's what they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why it's Xeno March, it's
Yeah. Right. But no, I mean, like, because they refer to it, but the Marines had never seen them before.
Right.
Nobody's ever seen them before.
Well, I mean, because, like, maybe I'm relying too much on my, knowledge of Star Trek, but, like, there's a field of study in Star Trek that's xenobiology,
Yeah.
and it's just, it's just the biology of, otherworldly creatures. So,
Yeah.
I think it's something that just, was a placeholder name that just became the
Well,
official
assuming
name.
it's a classification so similar to like ectomorph, like an ectomorph is a person who bulks up, versus tone, it's a type of phrenology based around the biology, but yeah, the but yeah, so I mean it's one of those things that I know it's always been referred to as a xenomorph, but I was watching it and being like, well, that's not what they're really called though. They're just using a classification term, but right, I don't know if they're ever called that again in the
Well, it's
movies.
kind of like with, the Cenobites in Hellraiser. It's like they don't refer to themselves as that.
Yeah,
It's just.
yeah. They don't even refer to themselves as much of anything. Yeah. So, but no, good little connection there too, because William Hope, Lieutenant Gorman, was in the sequel. Hellraiser 2 as Kyle, yeah. But yeah, and he did that right before Aliens. He was in England, living there as an actor. Did Hellraiser 2, and then he got picked up for Aliens, be Lieutenant Gorman.
I thought Hellraiser 2 came out after Aliens.
Did it? Maybe it did. When did Hellraiser 2 come out?
Well,
I thought it.
Hellraiser 1 was 87, so
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. Then, yeah. Then it definitely was after. Yeah. All right. Never mind then. He did this first, but he's in both. But yeah. The other thing that the commentary told me that I didn't know, and I didn't, I, it's one of those things that wouldn't fly now, I don't think, but that, Jeanette Goldstein as Private Vasquez, she is not Latino. She is she just they just bronzed her and had her do an accent. And I'm like, okay.
The scary part for me is that I totally buy it.
Yeah.
It's because
I
it's
just
like,
assumed
wait,
she was. Yeah.
is that me? Am I racist? Oh shit, Or no,
Well,
they
no,
just did a good
because
job,
yeah, they wanted you to think she was. So I mean they did their jobs, but it just it did
And then you see her in Terminator 2 and she
yeah,
looks, completely different. I mean,
different to the point that I didn't even put them together that they're the same person until the commentary track when I was watching it and they just said they just put like bronzer
Bronzer
on
on
her.
her,
Yeah. And I was like, oh come on. Oh come on, man. But I guess that's a thing. I mean, that was the same thing with what was it Jesus Garcia and Nightmare One. He talked about that and Never Sleep Again, where he was like, I changed my name to Nick Corey and pretended to be Italian because Latin actors didn't get
Didn't get
work.
work, yeah.
Yeah, so but yeah, they wanted her to be Latina, but they didn't want to cast a Latina, so they cast Jeanette Goldstein. This is her first picture too. She'd never worked prior to this. She and said her for like the first day was filming Marine movements, running through the building, and she had no idea like what to do. It was just sort of following along. But I like Vasquez.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I like the again, it's one of those things that another movie would have spent some time on, but this movie just sort of infers it, that maybe she had more feelings for Spunkmeyer or whichever one it was, the other guy running around with the stabilizer. And that when he died, she's really upset. And there's a scene in which she and Gorman look at each other, but they don't ever have that confrontation. And then, but then Gorman comes back for her and they sacrifice themselves to kill a bunch of aliens.
Yeah.
It's a nice little bit. That is all mostly just inferred from acting. And I appreciate the hell out of that. I mean, there's no big scene between the two of them where they
No.
have an argument or where she accuses him of getting her friend killed.
Right.
Normally I think you'd see that, but they said,
Yeah.
well, no, we'll just run that dynamic as performers. And at the same time, there's a logic to it. We got bigger fish to fry right now, you
Right.
know, that those two characters fighting over it would be kind of stupid, you know. It's like one of the things they point out with Burke, where they're like, really? Like, we're in the middle of all this shit, and you're still pulling this.
No, right.
You know, it's you know, it's not even just what you're doing, it's when you're doing it. Like, it's actually like you're doing this at like where everybody is necessary to survive.
Right.
But I guess you should hand it to Burke for being optimistic, though.
Yeah.
He assumed it was gonna work out. Like, we're all gonna live and we're gonna
Right.
get on that ship, and then I'm gonna sabotage the cryo pods so that the Marines die, and I'll sell Ripley and Newt to Clarence Thomas. Yeah, I lied. That's the last time.
Right, nine.
But faulty metaphor anyway. Clarence Thomas never bought anybody that we know of.
No,
But
that's he's quite the opposite, you know.
they would have been given to Clarence Thomas
Right.
in exchange for removing women's reproductive rights. That's the last time. But yeah, I liked Vasquez. I mean, what do you think of Vasquez?
I like her a lot. She's, you know, she's, I think if they were going to give her character a little more room to breathe, a little more time to dig into her, they might have, you know, shown that, you know, there is, you know, a lot of this, her masculinity or whatever you want to call it is, you know, because she's, you know, has to fit into this troop. But I think there's, it's there in the subtext. I think you can, you know, see that, you know, she's, you know, maybe not the preeminent shit kicker that she, you know, claims to be, but it works out well.
Yeah.
Think the performance is amazing. I mean, you know, maybe it's just because I was a little kid when I first saw it. Like, you know, I hadn't seen a character like that
Right.
before. And I think a lot of the characters like that sense are, you know, just modeling off of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a
Well,
sign
there's
of, you know, what a masterpiece of a film this is that, you know, so much stuff has come from it. And, you know, been used and abused and homaged and stolen
Yeah.
and, you know, over
Yeah.
the years.
For sure.
But it's funny because at the same time, I don't think that it's sometimes like when a film is gives so many tropes to the genre, you know, the film itself kind of suffers for it. It feels less fresh. It feels less, you know,
Yeah, I get what you mean.
useful. But I don't think this one does suffer from that at all.
No, I
I
would
think it,
agree.
I think it, I think it remains as fresh as when it was, you know,
Yeah.
came
Yeah.
out, God, nearly 40 years ago.
Yeah. That's a long time. Yeah. You know,
So
it's
old.
interesting. Vasquez provides something I had noted last night that I was when I was watching this movie, that within the first like 10 minutes, there is, first of all, there is the background bit about Lambert
Right.
being born male.
Right.
And then there's the joke about Vasquez being confused for a man, and then turning it back on him. There
Right.
is a conversation at dinner about like Arturians or something, where they're like,
Right.
you know, I had sex, I would want to, I want to get a, I have sex with an Arturian, and they're like, you had a sex with an Arturian man, and I'm saying
Right.
don't really matter with Arturians. And then that leads
Right.
directly into a conversation with Bishop about like personhood,
Right.
that it never really is followed up on. But I happened to note that I was like, you just went and did like four different transgender non-binary bits
All right.
in 10 minutes. That really, and then I noticed that the women in the Colonial Marines are all, even Ripley to a degree, are all masculine. They're all doing masculine things. They have masculine haircuts. They're dressed in a particular manner.
Right.
That I found it was just interesting to note because I don't think it's really a theme
No.
in the movie. The movie doesn't explore it, but I think that it's interesting to me that this movie has all that in it
Right.
early on. The only thing I could think of like being intellectual and trying to like fit it in somewhere, I was like, well, that we, you know, personhood is sort of at the heart of Aliens, I guess, you
Right.
know, what it means to be part of a collective whole as a species, and that ultimately the gender or what have you is kind of irrelevant. But the it's just as interesting to note, I guess,
Right,
that I
right.
was like, there is this stuff in it that is woke, quote unquote, I
Right,
guess.
and
But
yeah, science fiction's always been woke, even when
it's
it's, you
always
know,
been woke.
even when it's like the last thing on its mind, like in this version, this movie, I think it's
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's on somebody's mind at the very least,
right.
is to be like, you know, we're gonna have these little things in here that are going to be challenging the
Right.
binary notion of how you see your own species.
Right.
Because Bishop is a really fascinating character, you know, and but also the way they made him up, the way they dressed him, the way his hair is, it's all vaguely effeminate. You
Right.
know, the way he moves is not butch, quote,
Right.
you know, so to speak. It's and so he just is sort of softly saying, you know, oh, you know, I prefer, you know, artificial person myself, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating bit. I like Bishop a lot, and there's another, he's another character that got latched onto by fandom. You know, to the point that other movies even made it that like he was based on Weyland-Yutani or
Right.
Weyland, you know,
Yeah. Just so they
the
can
head of the
get, you
company.
know, just so they can get Lance Henriksen
We
back,
keep
you know,
bringing Lance
basically.
Henriksen
Yeah,
back in
right.
these movies, yeah. Because yeah, you always want to get Lance Henriksen, but who hopefully will not die now that we're talking about him. I'm gonna knock on wood on that. But yeah, he does a lot of really interesting work, and then the commentary kind of talked about apparently he was living that, where he was just very helpful on set and very, very, very quiet on set.
Right.
And but he has my favorite line in the whole commentary, where suddenly he's just sitting there and he says, "I didn't realize I wasn't in this that much." He's like, "I thought I had a bigger part in this." But yeah, like it's a very selfless role. Where he's not doesn't have a lot to do, but he goes give brings a lot to it. Even James Cameron notes in the commentary that even though so much aspect of the character is based around suspicion that he's going to be turn out to be bad like Ash was, he's not playing any of that suspicion in any of the moments. He's playing it completely innocently, Lance Henriksen. It's only our
To the
perception
point
of
where you
him.
realize that they're being dicks to him, you know, it's
Kind of, yeah. I
he's
think,
one of
yeah.
the few things about the sequel that like relies heavily on the prequel to make sense.
Yeah.
You know, almost everything else is like a refresh of you know the concepts and stuff like that. But like this one, you have to draw a clear line between him and Ash, you know, for it to work, especially in the first half of the movie.
Yeah. Well, they remind you of it to make sure, you know, when Ripley immediately is distrustful of him and, you know, Burke
And it
says,
even
"Oh, I
explains why.
forgot." Yeah. "Oh, I almost forgot." Yep, there is a, you know, synthetic on board. We always have one now. And one malfunctioned and tried to kill her, and he's like, "Oh, those ones were twitchy," you know. But yeah, the not that he was programmed by the company to kill everybody on board and preserve the species, but that he malfunctioned. But actually, it's funny that in this movie, I made a a joke to myself when Hicks and Ripley go after Newt. I was like, do you want to give Bishop a call? Let him know you're going to be late. And then I forgot, but and I actually immediately went, well, actually, no. He wouldn't be able to leave them behind anyways, programmed not to. By no action or omission of action would I allow harm to befall a human being. So unless he's sure they're dead, he can't leave anyway. But then I forgot it was a plot point. I realized it'd been there long enough that I was like, oh, that's right. He like they do a whole plot point of him leaving them behind, and it turns out he's not. He just circled around. I had forgotten all about that, so I was like, oh, well, my joke was completely irrelevant. But no, I liked that the movie covered it, you know. And I was like about to make a joke about, well, you probably should tell this guy you're running late, and then the movie covered all of that. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. But yeah, what else you got?
We talked about the themes of the movie, which was my big thing. We talked about the cast. I think I don't have much else, other than, this is one of the all-timer, classics of the genre for damn good reason.
It's a great action movie. And yeah, I mean, partially that might be part of why I never really gravitated towards it as much as I did, you know, the original, because I'm a horror geek at heart.
But this
You
still
know,
has, all the elements of body horror
there's still stuff in there for sure.
and suspense and, I think action, when done right, is a close cousin to horror because, suspense is a big part of what makes it tick.
I think you're right. I mean, like I said, I did like it a lot more this time. Just appreciating how much tighter it was than I remembered it being, and how technically proficient it really is. And I think I got to do more of that. I got to go back and watch older movies and with old
Reassess them,
eyes,
right?
old eyes, and be like, you know, there's these things that I just know more now than I did, and I can usually find a new level to kind of appreciate these types of pictures because I simply know more. You know, I've learned things since that changed my perception of them. But no, I did love this one. I mean, I always looked at it as like, you know, Alien, Alien 3, and Prometheus were horror films. Aliens and Alien Resurrection were action movies, and then Alien Covenant couldn't quite figure out which it was.
Which it wanted to be,
Although I remember thinking Alien Covenant was perfectly acceptable. So I mean, I don't remember much about it other than not hating it. So I mean,
Well, there's a lot of in Prometheus and Covenant, there's a lot of characters acting stupidly because of the plot, which
Well, I
always
remember
irks
that was
me,
I remember that being the main criticism of Prometheus. Was occasionally you had some characters just do something bafflingly stupid. But I didn't think I never I liked Prometheus a lot, so I'm really interested to
Yeah,
get
same
back
here.
to go watch that one again. But that one and Covenant are the two I've seen the least, so I'm
Yeah,
interested to
Covenant
revisit
I've only
those.
seen like twice, I
Yeah,
think.
I was gonna
Once
say I
once
think
in
it's
the
literally
theater and once
twice.
when it came out on video,
I think the same is true for me. I think I saw it in the theater and then I saw it on DVD when it came out, and then haven't seen it since. For me, this I watched a few times. I think the one I've seen the most is Alien Resurrection, oddly enough. Or maybe the original Alien I've seen the riff tracks of like, you know, a billion times. But yeah, I'm excited to revisit those. It's been a while for me with Alien 3 too, so I'm kind of like pumped for that too. That even though the theme was sort of picked sort of randomly as a for ease, I think, and convenience. I'm actually a little bit excited to delve into them. So I'm like, you know, once I started watching Aliens and being like, oh yeah, I kind of, and I stopped myself because I was like, I'm gonna watch all of them. I'm just gonna watch them all now, because and I may yet, but and I just have to rewatch them for the recordings. But yeah, I got kind of pumped for it all over again, and I'm like, and Aliens was, you know, enjoying Aliens. I think. Really enjoying Aliens for the first time, maybe ever, kind of got me really juiced for the rest of this month. So, and then it looks like we're going to jump right into more sci-fi right after that. So that's interesting. So, we're a sci-fi based show for a little while now. Deal with it, folks. Deal with it, nerds. But no, fun times are coming in the next 8 weeks. I think we got some fun stuff to talk about. But anything else for aliens that we think?
I think we covered just about everything. What else could you say? You know, if you haven't seen Aliens, like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Why'd you listen to all of this?
You're certainly not going to get much out of this conversation if you haven't. You know.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't. I guess, I mean, we didn't talk about Sigourney Weaver all that much, but I mean, like, the performance might literally just be like beyond reproach. I mean, like, it speaks for itself. I don't know how much light we can shed on it. You know,
well, like I said, in a lot of ways, she's the basis for the, the female action character as, modeled by film since then. And you know, it's got its roots in, you know, the feminism of the time. But what else do you say? I mean, it's just it's a perfect performance, I think.
I agree. I literally agree. And you know, there's not a weak point in it. Like I said, the script occasionally lets her down.
Maybe. And a lot of the knockoffs with her characters, you know, go more towards Vasquez than Sigourney, because I think a lot of people don't like recognize like how much, you know, tenderness there is in her character, and you know, how much of it comes through with her interactions with Newt and you know, the quieter moments of the film in general. So I think that side of her performance doesn't get enough respect, I don't think.
No, I agree. The badass aspects of Ripley are usually what get talked about, and the those don't work without the other side, and that's
and
really.
I don't think she would have played the role if it wasn't for the other side. You know,
no, we'll probably talk about that in the next couple episodes, because of some of the things that Sigourney Weaver wanted are nuts, but she signed on. That's actually worth mentioning. She got $1 million for this picture.
Right.
And that had never been done prior. I think no other woman had ever made $1 million paycheck.
Right.
And it was literally because they fucked up and like greenlit the script without ever talking to her.
Right.
And so when they realized, by the time they were like, well, we're going to start making this thing, they realized they had never negotiated with Sigourney Weaver. And she realized they had never negotiated with her. And so she said, I'll take $1 million, please.
Right.
And or you have no movie. And the cast and everything on the commentary talk about how wonderful she is. And, supposedly she was really nice. And, you know, she was the only one on the picture that was considered a star.
Right.
And then she, you know, and she didn't really want to, she wasn't really all that committed to the part. But she crushed it and did exceptionally good work. But yeah, I mean, the film doesn't work without the casual like moment of new calling her mommy, you know, that has to be earned. And Sigourney Weaver earns it. She earns every moment she gets in this picture. She just does it exceptionally well. And, but I think we'll have more to talk about with her in the next couple of weeks.
For sure.
As the Ripley character evolves into, what I think could arguably be, complete departures.
Right.
But, they become very different, variations of Ripley. Ripley becomes a very different character in the next couple of pictures. So maybe that'll be, and that maybe that's a good segue to end on. In the next couple of weeks, we'll talk more about the evolution of Ripley as a character and Sigourney Weaver's performance.
And then, you know, we'll top off the month by talking about, you know, Michael Fassbender. So, you know.
Excellent performances.
Great acting. Great performances,
His performances are great. I think I actually probably am going to end up cheating and watching the rest of those damn movies tonight. I think that's just going to happen.
Cheating. That's just living life, man. You know.
Yeah, I think I might just be like, you know what? I'm gonna go take an edible and eat some more cake. and
Right.
watch the rest of the Alien franchise. So,
There you go.
yeah.
All
All
right.
right.
Well, I guess if that's it, I'll take us out. Thank you once again for listening. We really appreciate it. Go ahead and spread the word on this podcast if you'd be so kind. We'd always love to get a few more ears listening to our ramblings. But other than that, watch out for each other. It's a weird, scary world out there, even without xenomorphs. So, as I like to say, be kind, rewind, but mostly be kind. Thanks.
Devil, dancing at the devil's door.